Grace is yours and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, by the power of His Holy Spirit who calls us together in faith, keeps us there in Christ even until His return. Amen. It happened again. It happened again. I walk into a room with great intent. I know exactly what I'm going in there for. I get to the room, you smelling what I'm stepping in? It has nothing to do with age. It has everything to do with loss of focus. It happens all the time in different ways. That's why I say, go to the store with a list. It saves money and time. Go to the store with a list, and if it's not on the list, you didn't need it. But we forget the list. Then we start making up stuff. You been there? Some of you who are, you know, we lose our focus and we forget our intent. What was our original intent of going into that room? I walked in with great confidence. I don't remember. No, the time changed this weekend. I'm thinking of this one quote that was shared with me. It was a meme. You know, some people, when they come late to an AA meeting or an NA meeting, people say, "I'm just so glad you made it." They come late to church, everyone's saying, "I guess they kind of forgot. It's about time you got here." Interesting, isn't it? Do we, as the people of God, sometimes forget our intent of why we are coming together, why we are here, why we have been placed by God's grace into this place and into this world and into this time and space? Do we forget our intent that God has an intention for us as well? And so let me just say, I think so. I believe so. Your life, my life, life as the church, Christians in general, many times forget our intent. And today we're reminded again that God never forgets His final intent. He doesn't forget His original intent. He doesn't forget His final intent. His intent is to have an ordered creation and to have a people who have been created in His image, who enjoy His presence and the gift that He has given to them of His new creation. That's His will. We see that echoed again and again and again. We've looked at the Epic of Eden, and this echo continues in this event as Jesus fulfills it completely and will fulfill it in the final day. So the first reading from Exodus chapter 25, a lot of detail there about how to build the ark and how to have the tabernacle, which is basically a tent, and they carry it along with them so that the presence of God would have a place to visit His people. Again, His desire is that His people be with Him. I find it interesting that Moses is instructed by God to have the people give their gifts, and then there's a lot of details. And I noticed this in one of the places here, and it says, then Moses, I got to get to it. I'm going to miss it. Oh, here we go. And they received from Moses all the offerings, the builders of the this is in chapter 36. So you would keep up, all right? Here we go. So 25, they're asked to give an offering. You have the golden calf experience thing that goes on in there, and Moses throws down the stones and so on. But then they continue to gather these gifts to build this. And they get all the craftsmen together. And the people are bringing more and more, more than enough to do all the work. Then Moses gave an order, and they sent this word throughout the camp: no man or woman is to make anything else as an offering for the sanctuary. And so the people were restrained from bringing more, because they already had more than enough to do all the work. I would love to be that pastor. And I know that you have to go through the golden calf incident on the way. Been there, done that, okay? But to just say to people, stop giving. It's not about what you give. Don't forget the real intent behind this Holy of Holies and this holy place and this tent of meeting, that you've been invited to participate in providing all the instruments for and all the gifts. Don't forget the intent. It's not about you. It's about God wants to be with you, and the thing that separates you from Him is the sin that Adam and Eve brought into the world, because they wanted to take the place of God. They didn't want to honor the place that He had given them. They wanted His place. And so everything is out of joint. And yet God, in His great mercy and His great love, He wants to be with His people. He wants to go to His original intent, and that is to have a creation and a people that are made in His image to be the stewards and to enjoy His presence as He used to walk with them in the cool of the day. And they would fellowship and have this sweet fellowship, and the ground would give its produce, and they would have ample supply. And now it's just a mess. It's just a mess. And so God begins this long, arduous task, at least as long as you read it and as you watch over it and experience it, of bringing His people back to Himself. And the only way that someone could come, and that's into the presence of God, the Holy of Holies, where the ark was, where His law was, where His staff was that had budded, Aaron's staff, and the manna jar, that was all in there. The only way that you could come into the presence of God, and then only once a year, and that was the high priest, and it had to be with a blood sacrifice. Now you read all this in Exodus, and then you fast forward to the letter to the Hebrews, which is challenging the people of God in that first century. Hey, Jesus is better than Moses. Jesus is a better priest. Jesus is a better sacrifice. Jesus is more powerful than the angels. He's the very Son of God. He is God in the flesh, who's come to take on the sins of the world and to come into the holy presence of His Father God and to do the undo what Adam did. And then you hear Paul in Romans, you know, in Galatians. There's the first Adam who, you know, fell into sin. And then there's the second Adam, who is Christ, who undoes everything. God's final purpose, His final intent, is that you and I and all creation would be redeemed. We've had that word before, right? Purchased. We've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We've been redeemed and brought back into His household, into His presence, and into our original purpose and intent, and that is to be His stewards. And if you keep that theme going throughout all of Scripture, you gain a greater understanding of what it means when in John chapter 1, and the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. Jesus came and He tabernacled with us for a time. He came close. God comes close because we can't come to Him. It gives you a new understanding of the story of the prodigal son. He's not only comes back and confesses, but the Father welcomes him, not like it didn't happen, just It's more important that you're home. And that's the whole point, is that it's not about you, it's about what God has done for you and for me in Jesus Christ. God the Creator wants His people back home. He wants them in His presence. He wants them in His in the place that He has positioned them as rulers over and stewards of His creation and image bearers in the world. When He called Abraham and He called the people of Israel and gave them the Ten Commandments, He said, I will make of you a nation of priests. You're going to be this conduit of My grace, My love, My care, My compassion, My wisdom, My call back to the world. You're going to begin to live out again. As you live with Me in this covenant, you're going to live this out. And a constant, how many times does it say in Scripture, in the Old Testament especially, remember, remember. Remember the Red Sea. Remember, you know, all those. Constantly remember. Why? Because we have spiritual amnesia. You see it over and over again. And so this tabernacle and this and then later the temple of Solomon and the Holy of Holies and the blood sacrifice wasn't to forgive sins, it was to remind the people of God that apart from the shedding of blood there can be no covering for sin. And finally, it's Jesus' blood, the perfect sacrifice, the perfect Lamb of God, the perfect priest, the perfect Adam, who comes and undoes what was done before. He brings us back into fellowship with the Father. Can you imagine Jesus knowing that that was His purpose, that was His Father's intent for Him to come into this world, to be the temple, to be the temple that would be, you know, laid waste and in 3 days rise again? Can you imagine as Jesus comes into the temple area and temple courts and He sees them changing money, selling doves, just making money off of this religious activity? How enraged He might have been. Is it not true My Father's house was to be a house of prayer and You've made it into a den of thieves? Jesus comes. He comes and He brings His own blood. And Hebrews chapter 9 explains it so well. When Christ came as high priest and the good things that are already here, He went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not man-made, that is to say, not a part of this creation. He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but He entered the most holy place, the very presence of God, that His Father, once and for all, by His own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. There's that wonderful word again, redemption. Eternal redemption. The blood of goats and bulls, he writes, the author goes on, and the ashes of the heifer sprinkled on them who are ceremonially unclean, sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death. For this reason, Christ is the mediator of the new covenant. And you could hear all that, and you could understand all that, and you could say, so what? And maybe you're saying that right now. So what? Until you understand by God's Spirit that it was all for you. For you. God could have allowed His creation, though fallen and broken, to just go on. But it was a rescue mission that had several stages, culminating in the person and work of Jesus Christ. His death, resurrection, His ascension to the right hand of the Father. Did He just check out now? Like, okay, job's done? No, He promises to come again. We just confessed it in the creed. He's coming again to bring us to himself at the end of time, and that's in Revelation chapter 21. A new heaven and a new earth comes down out of heaven as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And a voice from heaven says, now is the dwelling of God with his men, with men. And he will be their God, and they will be his people, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more suffering or pain or mourning. There will be no more pills. There will be no more time change. No more cancer. No more dementia. All those things will have passed away. It's a new creation. And we will be in the presence of God. However that sounds, however that, whatever that may mean for you as we experience the presence of God. And there will be no more terror. There will only be the presence of God. And not just this floating around with wings and... That's not Scripture's picture. It's a new heaven and a new earth that never wears out. I think that's pretty good news. That's good news for you. It's good news for me. As he brings us into that relationship even now. And there's also what's good now is that we have the privilege as his people today to also live out what Scripture calls his Holy Spirit, that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit right now. There's Scripture that says, all y'all are the temple of the Holy Spirit. That means the church, right? All true believers in Christ. That's the temple of the Holy Spirit. There's also Scripture that says, do you all not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? Therefore, glorify God with your body. Or again, in Colossians, Paul says, we have this mystery, Christ dwelling in us, the hope of glory, pulling us forward. Even right now, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We have the privilege of having God so close to us as we come to the sacrament of the altar, that his kingdom and this earthly kingdom is razor thin as he comes among us with his body and blood to forgive our sins, to strengthen us and encourage us, his Spirit affirming in us our faith, his Spirit affirming in us our call to be his image bearers in the world today, and to be stewards of his world today, to be stewards of his life today, as we share with one another and also with a world that is distant from him. And those who don't call on his name, to not condemn them, but to call them to a new life in Christ Jesus. To not be against things, but to be for Christ. To not be against false teaching, but to be for the truth of Jesus Christ. To speak into this world that needs life. To be good stewards of the creation now. All in preparation. We can't, you know, it's not humanism. Life's going to get better and better and better. I mean, I think that ship has sailed, friends. It's not. But it's going to be awesome when he returns. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth coming down out of heaven, beautifully adorned as a bride dressed for her husband. I love that section. I got to find it. It's at the back of the book. It's why no matter what's going on, you can have great hope, because we know how the story ends. We know we win as we are in Christ. John writes, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will be with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or pain or crying, for the old order of things has passed away. And he who is seated on the throne said, I am making all things new. And then he said, write this down. for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, it is done. I'm the Alpha, the beginning of all things, and I am the Omega. And because we're not Hebrew, I'll go from this way. I am the Alpha, and I am the Omega. I'm the beginning, and I'm the end. I never change. God never changes. That's good news for us. Good news for you. In Jesus, amen.